Today's scripture reading is found in John chapter 14. We are in John's gospel in the last week of Jesus' life, and starting in chapter 13, we are in the context of the first Lord's Supper, when he met with the 12 in the upper room. After Judas had left, and after Jesus had said that he would be going away and could not be followed at that time, Peter, as he often did, proclaimed his allegiance, and chapter 13 ended with Jesus saying to him, "Will you lay down your life for me?" To Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times." So Jesus is now announced very plainly to his apostles that he is very soon going to be leaving them. He had been talking about this now for a while, but they weren't really, it wasn't sinking in. But in chapter 14, we speak to that leaving of Jesus, where it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves." And what's Jesus talking about there? He's been performing great miracles. The most recent one being raising Lazarus from the dead, who had been in the tomb for 4 days. And so he's simply saying, if you're not listening to me, just look and what have you been seeing here? Verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Children, you know what an abode is? you abide in an abode. Okay, an abode is a house. So he says that he and the Father would come and would live with us. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. We'll conclude our reading at that point. Sermon title is If. Best title I could come up with, but actually it's where I started, but the sermon went in some different ways. But our application is going to revolve around nine uses of the if word that Jesus has here in John chapter 14. Not that the word if is a very common word in the Bible, but it was interesting to me. I just saw a couple things, decided I wanted to know all the if, the ways Jesus used if here, and that became a sermon that went in some different directions. But I would simply say, if you will hear Jesus in what he says in this chapter and in his gospel and in his word, you will be saved, because he tells you all of the important things that you need to do. When I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I'm a city boy, so I don't know what that means, but I think it means when I was little, there was this new invention that had happened not long before I was born called television. And we got at some point a Motorola black and white console TV with a big tube in the back of it, and we turned it on, and one of the first memories that I have of what is often called the boob tube, and that probably places me about right when I was growing up, but was a TV series called Lassie. Anybody else besides me ever? Okay, so a few of us can remember. June Lockhart was the mother of the farm, and but Lassie was one of these half-hour shows that pretty much everybody watched. Back then you had maybe one channel or two to choose from, nothing like what we have today. We lived a rough life, children. We really did, but no computers, Timex watches, other such things. But then there was a special cliffhanger for Lassie that led to an hour or two-hour-long special called Lassie Come Home. And what happened was Lassie, I forget if he jumped on a train trying to save the world or into a truck, but somehow he ended up taken away in a truck far, far away. And I don't remember all the details. I still remember at the end, though, when Timmy is crying and Lassie comes barking across the hill at the end, and he finds his way back home. And animals are prone to do that. And so it was a great saga, a great story of perseverance on the part of Lassie to find his way home, and of concern that he would come home and all would be well. For those of you that with me remember and shed tears when Lassie came home, I want to tell you that that has almost absolutely nothing to do with John chapter 14, other than Lassie was lost. And at the end, Lassie was found. In John chapter 14, Jesus talks to us about a much more serious saga, which is the fact that all of us, apart from Christ, are lost in trespasses and sin. That started back in Genesis chapter 3 when the forbidden fruit was eaten and Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, and the way back into the garden, which was really paradise, it was the representation at that point in history of the presence of God with his people. Angels are set to guard the way back to the tree of life, which was found in the garden. And the saga of the biblical story ends in Revelation 22, when we have a picture of heaven itself, which Eden represented back in the book of Genesis. And we enter into that. We see the face of God himself. We partake of the fruit of the tree of life. And all things are set right. So what we're dealing with is from Genesis chapter 3, a story where all of us are lost. And the problem is, we're not Lassie. Animals seem to have a tremendous ability to find their way back home. Every once in a while you hear a news report about a cat or a dog or something that had disappeared and was miles and miles, states and states away, that finds their way home. But we have a problem, and the problem was that the way back home into the presence of God, it was guarded by angels and was no longer accessible, and there was nothing we could do, and there remains today for those who are not in Christ, there's absolutely nothing that they can do in their own efforts to be found and to find their way back home to make everybody there happy. Now, when sinners come to faith in Christ, there's great joy in heaven. Jesus told us that. But it's the work of God. We're lost. We cannot find our way to him, but he has provided his way so that he has found us and returned us home. And so John chapter 14 is an amazing chapter where Jesus talks about that most significant of things, the fact that we were dead and we were lost, and he sent his only begotten son into the world to find us and to save us and to return us into the presence of our heavenly Father and into his house. And Jesus talks about that in this chapter. He delves into the very plans of God for us. He gives us at the very same time insight, perhaps deeper than almost anywhere else in the scripture, about the Trinity, about how the God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit work in our lives and in the universe around us. He explains the foundational truths about what is going on today in the church and in the world. And he does this for a very specific reason. And he starts, and near the end he also ends. He's told them that he's going away. And he understands that they're concerned about that. And they're troubled by it. And so he starts this chapter with, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." One of the most famous passages at funerals and at other times that we have in all of the Bible. And he goes on from there. So, "Do not let your hearts be troubled" is a message that all believers always need to hear. We still live in a fallen world. The evil one is still creating trouble for us. And yet, what Jesus is saying as he speaks to the 12, he is saying to us as well, as he says, "Don't be troubled, but understand what God has done, what I have done, what the Spirit of God will do, and how that will impact you." And really, what he starts in chapter 14, he concludes at the end of chapter 16. And at the end of chapter 16, as he concludes this, he says, "In the world you have tribulation, but I have overcome the world." And that's the foundation by which we should rejoice, that the Lord has won the victory for us. So really, Pilgrim's Progress is probably a better illustration of what Jesus is talking about here than Lassie Come Home. And yet, we understand the importance of home and being home, and to be at home forever with our Heavenly Father is one of those things that we wait in anticipation of as we live out our lives in this world of tribulation, so that we can realize what Jesus talks to us about in the first verses here of John chapter 14. So why did Jesus come into the world? And I've divided this chapter into three answers to that question. First of all, he came that he might go out of the world back to the Father. Secondly, he came that he might show to us, his people, his Heavenly Father. And he came to us that we might know and grow in him under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. So let's just walk through these verses quickly as we think about these things. Jesus came into the world so that he might return to the Father, having won the souls of those who belong to him by dying on the cross, covering their sins. Jesus says he was going to prepare a place for us. He is also the one who is interceding for us as he has gone back at the right hand of the power on high. You can see that here in verses 13 and 14, that now when Jesus goes, one of the things that's going to happen is he was going to intercede, as our great high priest, as Hebrews tells us, to bring our prayers before the very throne of God the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. One of the reasons that he had to go was to be at the right hand of God the Father, his work finished, sitting down, so that he can intercede for us, and as he said, to prepare a place for us. He also needed to go to send the Holy Spirit to us, which he starts to talk about in verse 16 here, but elaborates upon even further in chapter 16 that we read responsibly earlier in our service. And he also tells us that he had to go to the Father in order that he might come again at the end of the age to bring us once and for all as the body of Christ, as his blessed church, home to the eternal new heavens and new earth. We have some visitors at our house. They arrived last night about 5 o'clock or a little before. And our house is always so ready that we didn't have to do anything to get ready for them. Not how it works. In fact, I spent about 2 days doing stuff. Barbara spent about 2 months being ready to handle our guests, our beloved grandchildren and their parents. I don't know where I stopped calling Sam my son, but he's the father of my grandchildren now. Isn't it interesting to think how long Jesus has been in heaven preparing for us to arrive? That's what he tells us that he's doing, that he's making things ready for us, even as he is calling us to make ourselves ready for him. He came that he might go back to the Father to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we may eternally be there also. Secondly, as we go on, he came to us that he might show the Father to us. And I'm thinking particularly beginning in verse 6 and through about verse 14 that Jesus talks about that. That by showing the Father to us, what he is doing is he is showing us the way of salvation. He is revealing to us how not only to know who the Father is, but how to have fellowship with the Father, how to approach him who cannot be approached if sin holds sway. And so in talking to Thomas, who says, we don't know the way, Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. This is the last of the I am statements of John's gospel that we've been looking at. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Then he talks about the knowing the Father, and the only way that you will know the Father and he will be revealed to you is if you know the Son, because Jesus came into this world, manifested in the flesh, to do that which would enable sinful man to be able to enter in the very presence of God. The writer to Hebrews speaks of him in chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, as the new and living way. In Old Testament times, the tabernacle and the inside the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies and the veil that guarded the Holy of Holies, and the Holy of Holies where God dwelt, could not be entered except once a year by the high priest. That is all gone now. Jesus, through his body, has paved the way for us, the writer to Hebrews says. And so Jesus came into the world to reveal the Father. How often does he say, the Father sent me? How often does he say, I come to do the work of my Father? I come to so that you will know my Father, that you will hear my Father, that you will believe in my Father even as you believe in me. Believe in God, verse 1. Believe also in me. What he's saying is the two go together. If you're really going to have a relationship with the Father, Jesus has shown us that you must have a relationship with him. And then thirdly, he came that we might know, and I added in grow because it rhymed, but I could have left that off. But this is the portion of this chapter where Jesus begins to talk about life after his ascension into heaven. And what he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you ever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you do, he says. But we do who belong to Christ. The helper, sometimes it's translated comforter, sometimes in some translations paraclete, but it's clear Jesus defines that who he's talking about is the Holy Spirit. He went into heaven, his work completed, and then with the Father sent the Spirit into the world at Pentecost to minister until the Lord comes again. And Jesus says some significant things here about that, that he will be with us and in us, verse 17. The Spirit, literally the word here, the helper word in Greek, is the word that means one who stands alongside of you and is with you wherever you go. That's what Jesus is saying, he will be with us. But even more than that, he will be in us. If you are a believer, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The reason your heart is alive to God in Christ is because the Spirit of God has entered there and made his home in your heart, giving it newness of life, directing it to God, leading you to desire to honor and serve and obey God in your lives. And it is the Spirit who is the reason why in this age Jesus can say, I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus is coming again, but what he's saying here is, but in the meantime, he says, I'm still there with you, and the Father's still there with you too. We, Father and Son, make our abode with you. How? Because God, the Holy Spirit, has entered into the world and entered into the hearts of believers and into his church. And so as long as there is a today, as Hebrews says, Spirit of God will continue to do his work until the Lord comes again. Jesus tells us some other important things here. The Spirit will teach us all things. That's how we're going to know. Jesus taught, and now he's left, and he said, and if you want to continue to grow in the knowledge of my teachings, you will listen to the teachings of the Holy Spirit, because he speaks about me. He will be the one also in verse 26 who will bring Jesus' words to us. And in John chapter 16, and I am planning to preach on that in a couple of weeks, more is said about this. But the point is that the Spirit exists in us and in the church to glorify Christ, to make his gospel known, and to show the world our Heavenly Father and the great home that he has waiting for those who will, by faith, put their trust in him. simple gospel message, but Jesus is talking about deep things here, about how God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have worked together to save us and to ready us for eternity with Him. Well, where I started were these nine if words, and I decided they would make a good application for our sermon today. And so I just note that there is an F word in verse 2, 3, 6, 7, 11, 14, 15, 23, and 28. And these are the words I have for you. What is, and just remember, it is Jesus who is speaking these to us. It's not me, but it is Jesus. And as we go through it, you'll find out that it's a pretty impressive list of understanding what does God want of his children. Jesus tells us the answer. First of all, in verse 2, after he says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places," he says, "If not, literally, I would have told you." So that's the if word with a not associated to it. Three of the nine are if nots, and two of them you don't see in our translations very well. And so what is he saying? He's saying, understand that I tell the truth. And I can tell you of heavenly things as well as earthly things. And Jesus is not in any way sadistic. He's not mean, anything else. He loves those who belong to him, and he is straight with us. And we can count on that, and we can trust him. Long time ago, I heard that even your closest of loved ones and relatives and families and friends sooner or later will let you down. But there is one who never lets you down, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. Secondly, in verse 3, he says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." That's a promise. First promise is he'll never lie to us, he'll never deceive us, he'll never harm us. Secondly, he promises that he will come again, and that everything that he's talking about in this chapter will take place, and at the end of the age, he will return. Our place is in heaven, finally prepared, and he will take us home. Thirdly, literally, no one comes to the Father in verse 6, if not through me, or if not by me, is literally the if word that is there. And what he's reminding us that there is one way into the presence of God that God has provided, and that is his Son, Jesus Christ. The apostles in the book of Acts said there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved but by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is showing us the way. He is the new and living way, Hebrews 10, 19 and following. Fourthly, verse 7, after saying that he is alone, the way into heaven, he says, "If you know me, you would know my Father." Said that earlier, that if we want to know who God the Father truly is, we have to learn through what God the Son has done and what he has taught. That's what separates Christianity from all other religions. Judaism believes in the same God the Father we believe in, but they don't believe in God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And that means it's ultimately a different God that we're talking about. And Christianity exclusively understands the role of Christ and the need to come to him. In verse 11, he says, "To believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me," and the word "otherwise" is really "if not, believe because of the works themselves." You got to deal with Jesus. You've got to understand that the miracles that he did, he did. That he was raised again from the dead. That he has ascended on high and he is now living and reigning bodily in heaven itself. And he is going to come again for us. Sixthly, verse 14. important for us as believers. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Talking about the importance of prayer to the Christian life and the importance of seeking God's face in his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, rather than our own. The rubber to the road there is simply saying that he knows better than you do how you ought to be living your lives. And if you don't consult him and just decide to live it on your own, then you're not listening and not believing in our Savior. So Christians are those who will pray in Christ's name, which really means based upon his finished work, his sacrificial sin offering, his ministry as the great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek to make us acceptable in the sight of God the Father. And then in the very next verse, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Again, that is what we as Christians are called to do, to obey, keep the commandments of God, summarized very clearly in love of God and love of our neighbor as ourselves. And those things, Paul says, in those two great commandments are the law and the prophets found. H selection, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That kind of sounds a lot like verse 15, doesn't it? Verse 23. And if we keep his word, then his Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. We are to be people of the word. We are to take seriously all of these promises of our Savior and apply them in our lives. And then finally, this is the hard one, speaks to our class on grief that we're doing in the adult class right now. But if you love me, verse 28, you would have rejoiced. He starts that verse by saying, you heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. And he might have inserted, and you're sad. But if you loved me, you would have rejoiced because you would understand the things that we've been talking about in this sermon and of this chapter, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. She's saying, you would have rejoiced because my going to the Father is finishing off this great work of salvation to bring all of God's children back into his household of faith. And so we have that tension that we always have in times of grief and in times of loss, and that is to understand that if you belong to Christ, in the midst of all of that, his continuing word to each of us is, do not let your hearts be troubled. Keep the faith. Believe in God, believe also in me. Trust in my promises and rejoice that your names are written in the citizenship of this household of faith that's called heaven itself in the book of the Lamb, the book of life. That's the promises that we have if you belong to Christ. If you don't, these things don't belong to you. They're blessed promises. They are faithful and true words. I'll just go back to the first if. If it was any different than what I'm telling you, Jesus would have told us so. But he didn't. So let's listen to him. Let's live our lives in expectation of that eternal room that he continues to prepare for us in heaven. I got a feeling it's not dirty up there. I've got a feeling that things are pretty well ready, but he's still preparing for us by sanctifying us by his Spirit, by continuing to mold us and make us ready, more and more ready for entering into our eternal reward. That's the goal of, that's why we're here. That's why the Lord has called us to himself, to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for being reminded that in the fullness of time, you sent your Son, and he willingly came to those who were lost to show them the way and to bring them home. Father, we thank you that you have given us the gift of faith. We thank you that you have done for us which we could not do for ourselves. That you have saved us, that you have set us on the rock of salvation, that you have then given us a home that wind and rain cannot tear down because of your Son and our Savior Jesus. We pray that we can honor him in our lives. We pray that we can continue to be a blessing to the world around us as we live for Jesus. Lord, he told us many things that he calls us to do in this chapter using that if word. And we pray that we will hear and that we will trust our Savior and that we will live for him until you call us home. We look forward to that day. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, his people, both now and forevermore. Amen.